Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers on the broadcast today. State Senator Heidi Gansert here for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
What do you count on? You count on your power every day. At NV Energy, we've always powered what's important to you. But we're not looking at the past. We're focused on the future. While our standards are high, our rates will remain low. And our commitment to renewables isn't just meeting standards, but leading the way. Because you can count on more than just your power. You can count on the company who brings it to you. That's our promise. You can count on it.
Hello, is this D&D Roofing?
Yes, it is. How may I help you?
You did such a great job on my roof. May I speak to the owner?
I am an owner.
Oh, can I speak to your supervisor?
Sure.
How may I help you?
I love your work. May I speak to the owner?
I am an owner. We're all owners. Well, that's why at D&D we work so hard to keep your home safe and sound.
Oh, no wonder.
D&D Roofing and Sheet Metal. Local, employee-owned, here for you.
Retail's impact on Nevada's economy? Enormous. 8,600 businesses, large and small, employing 145,000 workers. And last fiscal year, retail paid tax on nearly $60 billion in sales. We're the Retail Association of Nevada. We support retail, we help it grow, and we mean business.
RANNV.org.
Pro Group Management specializes in providing industries with the necessary components to satisfy and exceed workers' comp requirements. Every business has unique needs and specific regulations. Pro Group Management stays ahead of the curve, providing up-to-date services to keep your industry in top form. Discover how we simplify your tasks, improve efficiency, and reduce expense to keep you moving in a positive direction. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, coming to you from the Bank Saloon in Carson City. We are pleased to welcome back to the program State Senator Heidi Gansert, Republican of District 15. Pleasure to have you back on the program.
Thank you for having me this morning.
Well, you're very welcome. Thank you for coming over. So the breaking news, of course, came from the Wall Street Journal early this morning saying that Las Vegas Sands had sold their Las Vegas holdings. What do you think this means for the convention business in Las Vegas, as really Sheldon Adelson almost created the integrated resort?
Right. So I think it's exciting news. I'm very hopeful that the Adelson family, Mary Adelson, will still stay in the community because they've been just such great supporters of it philanthropically and of course, you know, the business. So I'm hopeful that while they sell off the properties, that they're still in our community.
They had made an announcement to the Las Vegas Review-Journal, which of course they also own, saying that they were going to continue to be a part of the community when the story that they were even looking to sell was first broken by Bloomberg. And I really hope so, because there's not too many towns of 2 million people that have 120 reporters working at a newspaper.
Right, right. I mean, it's an excellent publication. And again, the work that they've done for individuals who are addicted, for families, for children is just tremendous. So I hope they stay in the community.
Yeah, me too. All right, let's get to some issues here.
All right.
And the one that seems to be top of mind is these innovation zones that the governor has talked about. I guess a bill is still in draft form. But give me your thoughts on this. One individual owning one company wanting to take a chunk of Story County. What's your initial thoughts on that?
So I think it's just in the early stages, and I think it's something we need to look at. What I will say is that economic development and diversification is critical to the state of Nevada. And I just had a hearing yesterday on an economic development bill and about how we need to be strategic, that we need to go back and do the planning. When we originally changed how we did economic development in 2011, we put together a state plan to really look at where are opportunities. And just recently, this administration published an update, so it had been 9 years. So my bill basically says we need to do economic development planning, a strategic plan, more frequently, at least every 3 years, because it's also tied to workforce development. So once you have that plan and you've looked at your opportunities, then you've got to match it with workforce. And while the state puts some dollars in workforce, we also get millions of dollars from the federal government. So really to move the needle, especially in Clark County, for diversification, for good paying jobs that have benefits, that are help support families and their quality of life, we need to be able to do this planning and match our workforce development dollars.
And no arguments with you about any of the things you just said. The thing that I look at with economic development in Southern Nevada and diversification mm-hmm. is you're diversifying against this unbelievably huge industry. I mean, I don't see that we would ever be able to diversify away far enough from gaming that in a downturn that we would ever be protected.
So you know, I think it's going to take decades. It's not going to take years.
Right.
It's going to take decades to do it. And I was recently in Atlanta. Atlanta has Emory and has an enormous campus with medical programs and residency programs, and they have the CDC. So the individual I was visiting, three of our neighbors worked for the CDC. So I think there's an economy that can be built around technology, around healthcare, but perhaps in Southern Nevada. And it's a heavy lift. It's not something that's going to be done overnight. But we have to figure out, you know, how we're going to do it, and it's going to require investment, it's going to require infrastructure, and I used healthcare, it was the top of mind, but there's probably other industries that are knowledge-based that can help, and again, it's maybe this is a 50-year plan, but we have to start at some point in time. When you think back on Northern Nevada and where we were probably in the 70s, right? So gaming was really big in the 70s. And now if you were to look at our diversification, we're pretty balanced. And I think gaming's probably about 7% of our economy. And we are a much smaller community, but it took what's that, 50 years? It took 50 years,
right.
You know, to really diversify. And right now, Northern Nevada has an unemployment rate of about 5%, and Clark County has an unemployment rate of about 10%. So it makes a difference, and we need to continue on that path.
And it's interesting, I was talking to Tick Segelbloom, who's on the Clark mm-hmm. County Commission, and you know him very well as a former state senator. And he feels the same way Dina Titus did, which is he wants to see things go vertical in Las Vegas rather than spreading out. So he's not a big fan of developing Apex. I talked to him about the Ivanpah Airport, which mm-hmm. seems to be the biggest shot at diversification that you could have, building a whole new airport and all the things that would go around that south of Las Vegas. He wasn't keen on that at all.
You know, I think there's something to developing and redeveloping your urban core because you want to make that a vibrant place. But I think there's opportunities too that are right outside the urban core. And you know, I don't know Clark County as well as they do, so I would have to look to them and to what they think. But there is something to reigniting what's in your urban core, but you also have to think probably beyond those borders and where there's room to expand. And then again, what kind of sectors, what industries would have the best opportunities there.
So going back to the innovation mm-hmm. zone, if we may, it just seems to be a really interesting thing where you have a company that has essentially built its own building mm-hmm. in Storey County in the Tahoerino Industrial Center, so it's not on the 67,000 acres that it purchased. A lot of that area, we talk about 67,000 acres, but a lot of it is mountaintops and steep slopes, so very hard to develop. Even with the Tahoerino Industrial Center, they had, I think it was 102,000 acres, but only 30,000 that were developable. So we don't really know how much of that 67,000 acres is developable. And then add into it, Mr. Burns has purchased water for the project, but it's in Gerlach. And the idea of building a 100-mile pipeline to get water, I would refer to Senator Reid and say, this is a 20 to 30 year project to be able to move that water.
I think there's many challenges, so I'm not sure how it's all going to work out. And again, I think it's at the initial stages. What I do know is there's a lack of housing in that direction. We have thousands of employees that live out or that work in that area, and there's not a lot of places to live. So I'm not sure how it's going to shake out, but I do think the folks who are proposing it are thinking this is a multi-decade plan as well. So I'm not sure if it'll move forward or not, but it's a new idea, and I think we need to take a look at it.
Would you be more comfortable if there was at least one company beyond blockchains that said, hey, we think this is a great idea, let's go out there and plant our feet there?
You know, I'm not really sure. Again, it's brand new. There's a lot of acreage out there. They have housing issues. So I'm not sure how housing will get developed, whether it'll be there or it'll be somewhere else. But I think there are some demands for housing.
Okay, so last question on this, okay. And then I'll move on to other topics. But what about the concept of taking a chunk of Story County's land and putting it into this innovation zone and self-government? It seems to me that here's a company that is, you know, running their own business, but what do they know about running a county, judicial, schools, all the rest of that? Does that concern you?
Well, I think it's a very heavy lift, and it's a very different idea. I'm not sure exactly how this is all going to work out, but I think that, you know, having a vision and trying to think big is important in the state of Nevada. So we'll see. I think that, like I said, they've got challenges with land, with water, with the county within where it's based right now, and that's probably why this all started. So I'm not sure if something else will move, but I do know that in that region, not necessarily there, but in that region, there's a high demand for housing because there's so many employees in the region.
Right, to say the least. And that brings us to AB 90. Does that bill concern you?
So, you know, I'm on the Senate side. Tell me what AB 90.
So that's the bill that would basically allow the counties surrounding Story County to be able to say yay or nay to developments and pass costs backwards and forwards in terms of development. So, because they're complaining right now that, you know, the cost of the housing, education, sure, et cetera, is being passed on to Washoe, Reno, Sparks.
So I'd have to look at that bill, okay. But what I know about Story County,
I got to start bringing bills with me.
You're going to have to start bringing bills, and you know how it works, that they're on one side, they get vetted, they change, and then they move over. So we'll have to look at it when it comes on our side. But I do know that housing is just minimal in Story County, so pretty much everyone who works in Story County, at least east of Reno, not necessarily Virginia City, but east of Reno, lives in other counties, and there's been that tension in other places too. So when you look at Eureka County, the mines, a lot of mines are in Eureka County, but the individuals who work in those mines live in Elko, so they live outside the county. So we've had other instances of that too.
Yeah, and Jesse Wadhams was on the program talking about concerns that he's hearing from the mining community about, if you can do this to Story County, you could do this to Elko County, Eureka County, other counties.
See, I didn't even hear that, but I just know that we have other counties where we have businesses, but not necessarily a lot of individuals living there.
I think you need to go on your jogs listening to Nevada Newsmakers. We'll take a break. We'll be right back.
Kenny, Dad, what are you learning? This place is great.
Huh?
You gotta try this. Wow, this stuff is great. People are gonna love it.
Yes. Yes, they were.
As you know, Reno is booming. Tolls Development Company is helping it grow with insightful design and development. Building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Tolls Development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. Tollsdevelopment.com.
Take a look at Pro Group Management and see how your workers' comp requirements can be met head on. By taking a proactive approach, Pro Group can assure that your company is meeting or exceeding state and federal standards. As you move forward in your industry, Pro Group moves with you, simplifying regulatory tasks, clearing the way so you can get the job done, and look to your future success. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with State Senator Heidi Gansett of District 15. The public and the media and lobbyists in the building, how much concern do you have for the fact that they are not there in any significant numbers?
Well, we represent the people, and I think the building should be open, and the building's being treated differently than any other building in the state. And so We only meet for 120 days. I think access is critically important to get input. And the Zoom meetings, I mean, they're open, but I can tell you individuals are confused about how to log on, how to queue up. And then there's also, when you have a hearing on a bill, if you know you've got some people who want to speak, you can go ahead and get them in the queue in advance, and then there's folks that are on the lines, and it's not necessarily equal access. And so I want to make sure people have equal access, can voice their opinions, whether it's a member of the public, whether it's a lobbyist. And there's also just sort of working together. If you're together and you can and meet in person with groups, I think you get better legislation.
And walking down the hallways.
Right, walking down the hallways. Yeah, the place is empty. You know, it's interesting. The one thing I can tell you is that we bump into the senators more frequently because the senators are senators are in the hallway because they're clear. You can. It's just a really it's quite surreal time. But I think public input and really to make the best legislation possible, we have to be able to get together and that we at least should treat the building the same as other buildings in the state.
You know, we saw the news yesterday that Texas is opening up 100%. How close do you think Nevada is to being able to do that?
You know, I think it's going to depend upon our vaccination rates and the COVID testing rates. So we seem to be behind on the testing originally, and then we had a slow start to vaccines, but I really think we're starting to turn that around now. So I'm excited by that, and I'm very hopeful that individuals go get a vaccine. So I want to send that message. It's not a partisan notion. Get your vaccine, because that's going to help us make the entire community safer and allow us to open up faster.
Have you had your vaccination shot?
I did recently. Once we were in the queue, I went ahead and got my vaccine, the first vaccine last week, and I'm grateful for that. But I want to make sure that individuals, if you qualify, if you're eligible, go get your vaccine.
Yeah, and I agree with you 100%. Did you have any response to that?
Reaction? Yeah. No, my arm was sore, but that was it. I've been told, though, it's the second vaccine that does it to you, so we'll see. But no, you know, just a sore arm, that was it. No other reaction.
Well, that's very good to hear. Let's take another break. We'll come right back after this timeout.
Dimitri Prine here for Design Outdoor. Are you a homeowner who's interested in remodeling or building a home? At Design Outdoor, we can show you how adding natural or manufactured masonry stone can add beauty and value to your home. And we refer only the best contractors. Our store and backyard are located at 11600 South Virginia, just north of DeMonte Ranch Parkway. Visit designoutdoor.com or call us at 851-9499.
Hey guys, are you watching the game at a friend's or the bar again because you can't watch at home with your wife? Or worse, because she kicked you out and kept your couch, your flat screen, and your kids? What's the one thing a man needs when he loses a good woman? A good lawyer. And when he loses a bad woman, he needs a great lawyer. What makes a good woman a bad woman? You tell me. You're the one that can't watch the game in your own home. I'm men's rights attorney Marilyn York, and I represent men in divorce, custody, and family law matters.
Hi, I'm Dave Newman. Remember me? I used to be the house detective, and now I'm a realtor, full-time at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates. And a lot of people ask me, how's the market? You know what? It's fantastic. If you're even kicking around the idea of buying or selling, give me a call. Let's talk about it. Call me at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates and just ask for the guy who used to be the house detective, Dave Newman.
Everyone is talking about opioids, but they're not the only drugs that can be harmful if taken in large quantities or not as prescribed. You also need to be aware of side effects from anxiety drugs, muscle relaxants, sleep aids, and stimulants. Mixing prescription drugs with other drugs or alcohol can be dangerous. If you take an Ambien with a glass of wine, it may be enough to stop you from breathing. Prescribed drugs can be just as dangerous as illegal drugs. Take medications only as directed.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with State Senator Heidi Ganser, Republican of District 15. You are no longer at the university, this is UNR, but you were working on development. What is in the pipeline for UNR that you were excited about before you left?
Okay, well, the first thing is the whole gateway and the partnership with the RTC. So the RTC was able to buy some properties on the east side of Virginia Street between 8th and 9th and create a multimodal center. And that was really important because it was a very blighted area. It looked unsafe, felt unsafe. And so that's getting redeveloped there. And that land, the remnant parcels, I believe the university plans on buying if they haven't already purchased those. And so the next thing up, I believe, is a business building. And they really wanted to put the business building close to downtown so that we could have this flow of students across I-80 and help to be a catalyst for redevelopment on the other side. So Nevada Reno is just a really great institution. It's good for students, it's good for research, it's good for the community. And as it expands and grows towards downtown, I think it's going to be just a huge bonus for the community.
What do you think about the complaints, and I'm sure you've seen them over time, from people like Robert Lang and David Damore at UNLV, who say that UNR is getting everything and UNLV is getting nothing?
You know, it's a math equation. So both institutions are funded exactly the same on weighted student credit hours. But because Nevada Reno was the original institution, they have more funds that flow through their budget. So for cooperative extension, it used to be that they had the medical school and Southern Nevada didn't have the medical school. But I'm trying to think of some other examples. But cooperative extension is a big one, and research related to some of agricultural research and so forth. Those run through Nevada Reno's budget. And so if you actually take the budget of UNR and divide by the students, it looks like there's more money. But they're actually funded for the teaching that they do exactly the same way as UNLV. So there really isn't an inequity, and it's because they're using an inflated numerator over the denominator of students. And so it's really, to be honest with you, it's fiction. And I also think Nevada Reno is extremely well run, and there's a fee per unit for capital investment, and I can tell you former President Mark Johnson invested that. So when you look at the buildings on campus, whether it's the Student Achievement Center or whether it's the new arts building, those were funded with foundation money and with student fees for this capital fee. And so there was a consistent investment in the university, and it's a beautiful campus, and I think the entire community and the state should be proud of it.
Okay, so you're saying that UNR is run efficiently. Are you suggesting that UNLV has not been run efficiently?
No, I'm not suggesting that, but what I am saying is that this capital fee has not been used at all the institutions like the Nevada Reno has done it. And there was a time where UNLV did have tens of millions of dollars, maybe even hundreds of millions of dollars that were not deployed. And they had money basically for capital. And they also had some money that was scholarship money. And they've changed leadership and have gotten that turned around. So I'm not sure exactly what they're doing with their capital piece, but the piece that was for scholarships for children or for students to make sure that they could afford to go there, they stopped holding back that money and they started to deploy it. And that was extremely important because the goal, I believe, was that 15% of the revenue that was coming in or tuition was going to be set aside to be able to scholarship lower income students in. And again, Nevada Reno was doing that. And for a period of time, UNLV wasn't doing that, but they're doing it now.
Is the saving grace for Nevada the federal budget plan to put in $1.9 trillion? Of which Nevada would get multiple billions of dollars? Is that the saving grace?
You know, our budget is not nearly in as bad shape as people may suggest. And already, when you look at education, there might be some slight cuts to K-12, but there's twice as much money, probably actually 3 to 4 times as much money that's coming in from the federal government. And the reason it's not on our books, on the state's books, is because it's going directly to the school districts. So while at a state level you'll see there is a cut, there's far more money to cover that and plus up multiple times coming from the feds, and that's even before this $1.9 trillion package. I think we have to be just wary about that money. I think it's we need to make sure that we don't put that into our current budget so that we're faced with huge challenges in 2 years. We cannot overspend. We can look at some programs and some projects that are short term, and we need to use it as an opportunity to turn some things around. I'm not sure what's going to happen with all that money because the state is not that short.
What about the unemployment fund? I'm presuming that you would benefit employers if you were able to fund the losses that they've taken there.
So right now we're borrowing for right. unemployment. But not at a very high level yet, and right now there's no interest on it. And I'm not sure whether any of the federal dollars can be used to backfill our unemployment trust, because that actually sets separately. It's not part of the general fund, and it's funded by employers. What we did do is pass some legislation that if you're impacted more because of COVID, because of the industry you're in, you will not be penalized as far as the rates. But we do need to look at workforce and how do we help retrain some of these individuals who are probably in the hospitality industry that need to have, establish a new type of workforce. And again, that goes back to economic development. So what type of workforce do we think that we need? What industries present opportunities for us, and how should we deploy that money? But I'm wary of so much money coming in. I really think it should be targeted to those who need it most, and not just big tranches of cash, coming in.
You're a money person, and it just seems to me that every economic theory I ever heard has been blown out the window, not just with this current administration, but with the previous administration, in terms of these trillions of dollars being put into the economy. Rightly so, because at close to 0% or 0% interest rates, you're never going to pay off the principal anyway, so you're only concerned about the interest, and if the interest is at zero, the GDP is more important that you will gain than the money you're borrowing. Does that compute for you? You've got about 30 seconds to answer.
Very complicated question. I would agree that we needed an economic bridge. We basically were falling on a cliff. We had to shut down our major industry for over 2 months. A lot of closures and then partial openings. So we needed an economic bridge, but I'm concerned about so much money coming in and that we will end up growing government to the point that we just can't support it. So we need to make sure that we help those who need help, but not expand government because there's an opportunity to do so, but just because there's money. We need to be very disciplined about how we spend the money and use it in niches to be able to retrain workforce and to level up our workforce, but not in a manner where we create ongoing expenses.
And that's where we have to leave it. Yeah. Thank you so much for doing this. Please come back again before end of session.
Of course.
Thank you.
Thank
and we'll you. Be right back.
Finish. Dad? Are you learning? This place is great.
Huh?
You gotta try this. Wow! This stuff is great! People are gonna love it!
Yes. Yes, they were.
As you know, Reno is booming. Toll's development company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Toll's development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
Take a look at Pro Group Management and see how your workers' comp requirements can be met head-on. By taking a proactive approach, Pro Group can assure that your company is meeting or exceeding state and federal standards. As you move forward in your industry, Pro Group moves with you, simplifying regulatory tasks, clearing the way so you can get the job done, and look to your future success. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers on television, radio, audio and video, podcasts, and YouTube. We'll see you on the next broadcast, coming to you from Carson City. See you then.